Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And we have a very special new guest today. Her name is Kathy, and she is a teen who happens to be an avid reader. Mm-hmm. She's bringing with her The Night Tiger. And do you mind telling us what grade you're in or going into?
Oh, I'll be going into 11th grade.
Okay. Awesome. So how about you tell us a little bit about the book that you brought?
The book that I bought basically piqued my interest because it has a very beautiful cover. So I read into the summary that's located on the basically like left inner jacket pocket, or whatever it's called. And it wasn't like basically anything that revealed the plot too much or anything like that. It was just basically talking about a girl named Jiaying, I believe is how it's pronounced, because I have a friend who has the same name as well. And basically, they talk about how her life is intertwined with another stranger's life. So it's not basically one main character. It's multiple main characters that how Rick Riordan, how in one of his books, he had multiple protagonists. So they would switch from one first person point of view in different parts of the book. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with this, except it's mainly shifting between two characters named Jiaying and Ren. Later on in the book, there's another character called William Acton, which shows up more once he becomes more relevant.
What time period is this set in?
This is set in, I believe, 1930s colonial Malaysia.
Okay. And what exactly, I can't quite see the cover, what exactly about the cover really interests you?
Basically, the ambience of it is someone just looking away from the screen, away from the reader's point of view, so that you can basically see them staring at it like a starry sky with flowers and stuff in the front.
Oh, yeah.
It's just very aesthetic. And besides that, you just couldn't see her facial expression. So everything was just up to your imagination.
Okay.
So this is literary fiction, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you usually read literary fiction?
I usually read literary fiction, yes.
Okay. Had you read this author before?
I have not. This was my first book by her, and I'm reading another book by her that she published a few years back.
So give us a little bit of information about the story.
So a little bit about the story has a little bit of everything, but it's not like a mess or anything like that. It's more of just like a structured...
Does it alternate every other chapter between the two protagonists?
Yeah, like at the beginning it was like even chapters, some like this odd chapters, but it also breaks away from that type of pattern when William Acton is introduced, and also when like there is a really important scene happening for one of the characters, like Ren or Jiaying, like it might continue two chapters.
Okay.
And basically like the storyline at the beginning, it's not very fast paced, but certainly like it's one of those storylines that develop as it goes and the pace picks up the faster you read into it. The pacing of the story is pretty nice.
And these two characters, do they know each other, or do they just have kind of connections that the reader knows about, but maybe they don't actually know each other?
It's a mix of all of that, because as the story progresses, at the beginning of the story, both characters do not know each other, but as their fates basically become more and more intertwined, they start seeing signs of each other until they actually meet, and until they actually are involved with each other. They don't actually have a physical face-to-face confrontation until a certain scene in the story happens where they're basically forced onto each other's path. And then the story has elements of some fantasy in it, but it's not particularly confirmed, because in Asian mythology and things like that, we believe in some type of basically spirit or like dream realm that sometimes other spirits can enter into, or basically like deceased relatives can visit us from. And they kind of also have interactions in that type of setting as well.
So it's more of like a spiritual aspect to the book as opposed to like a fantastical aspect.
As the title of the book suggests, The Night Tiger, Malaysians believe in this were-tiger that basically disguises itself as a man, I believe. And from what I can gather, they never actually meet one, but there are basically small clues and small like insinuations from certain characters' actions and proof of like certain gruesome scenes inside of it. So if you're not a fan of blood, this is not the book for you.
Interesting. Okay.
That sounds really interesting, the idea that you can see how they are crossing each other's paths, but at the wrong time to actually meet each other. I really like the idea of a story that you feel anticipation almost, because you know they're probably going to meet, and you're just waiting, and you're like, what will happen? What will make them meet? I don't understand.
It made me so mad, because three chapters up until they meet, they were always missing each other.
Like, oh, so it's like the author was teasing you, kind of.
They really were. I was just like, third time's a charm. And then it didn't happen.
So is this the relationship between these two characters as it happens? Are they friends eventually, acquaintances? Do they just suffer through the same incident together? What kind of relationship do they have?
They parallel each other, so they don't particularly actually, they're not actively involved in each other's lives because they already have their own separate lives and their own separate goals. Basically, Ren has to keep a promise to a deceased, like, previous master. Now that he's at a new house, he has to find a severed finger and return it before 49 days are up, or else his old master will lose his soul. Not lose his soul, but his soul will wander for...
Yeah, that's a pretty serious task. Yeah.
Asians are pretty hardcore when it comes to afterlife stuff.
And what's the parallel between them? Or is that, like, kind of a secret that comes later?
This borders on spoiler and not, because basically in kind of Malaysian Chinese, like, religions, there are basically five values, like the five Confucian values, and you're introduced to all five of them at separate points. One of them is warned that you should basically keep away from this one, or else tragedy will befall you. So it didn't really become a thriller until like 3/4 of the way through the book, and I was just kind of like, wait.
Did that feel like super unexpected, the transition from...
It wasn't super abrupt because it was hinted at, but it just became suddenly more serious, like the closer... Is it a spoiler if I say there's like a twist?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you can say there's one.
Yeah, it became more serious the closer you became to the twist or like the unexpected aspect of the book.
So it feels like she's probably pretty good at building like tension, like first tension wanting them to actually meet each other, and then the tension of knowing something is coming, and then... Yeah. There's just also romantic, coasting.
Yeah, there's also romantic tension as well. And it's just so mad. The way it's handled at the beginning of the book is just like, oh, these two hate each other. And then you get further into the book and I'm like, wait, am I supposed to support this? The further you get along to it, because it wasn't like more explicitly said. It's more of just like how they treat each other. And suddenly, like, at some point, her mindset suddenly shifts. And then, Jiang's mindset suddenly shifts. And a potential suitor just... you know, kind of pops up where there was always a friend before that. So
can you tell us a little bit more about Jiang?
Jiang basically, as the summary says, is an apprentice dressmaker. Her mother had remarried at a later age after her father had died, because I don't particularly remember if it was because her debts acquired from Mojang like before her father died or after, because I believe it was after, but that might have also happened after her mother had remarried. Because they needed to basically financially support themselves. So usually a lot of people that are widowed, they might be... In Asia, we have like something called matchmakers and stuff like that. So I don't particularly know how that operated in 1930. Jiang's mother basically found someone to help like alleviate the house's financial burdens.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the author's writing style. Did it feel like it had flourish to it? Were the sentences simple, but yet still elegant, or...
I can't really put my finger on, like, one adjective when it comes to her writing, because it's more like she doesn't overuse words, she doesn't reuse the same phrases, or at least I haven't noticed. So it's always, like, trying to keep a dynamic up of, like, making you feel like you're more of, like, on a scenic road, and it's just stuff like that. Like, she won't just be, like, you're walking on pavement. It's more like you're traveling through... a trail that no other person has passed through before with no sound until you, like, it's just fantastical and, like, not too flowery because there are gruesome scenes.
But definitely give you a sense of place.
Yeah, sense of place. It's very immersive writing.
Okay.
And when we get to the twist, the thriller part of the book, how, I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, is it like, a big juxtaposition from the beginning? Does it go from, like, 0 to 100, like, super, super... thrillery?
It really did. It was just kind of like she was just walking with someone and suddenly they turned out to be like a completely different person from what she had imagined. It was already hinted at before. It basically, like, it didn't go from 0, I guess, because it was already hinted at before. It basically went from like maybe like a 5 to a sudden like 100.
Okay. Wow. Because that's like a certain style of reading, like wanting to have that kind of tension, wanting to know that there's like something big happening.
Yeah. It always felt like she was trying to trick you or mislead you, because she kept trying to like plant duds and you were like, oh, that's a dud, and then you weren't primed or you weren't well prepared for the actual like twist.
Sounds like she had this really well planned out.
She has a lot of other facts too, like, you know how Rick Riordan will include like very world-building sentences to basically immerse you? She also does that with the characters' lives. Like, they aren't just particularly characters that are props so that they could advance the main character stories.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own history. They have their own, like, fleshed out stories.
So were there any side characters that you enjoyed getting to know?
There was this suitor for Jiaying. He was particularly annoying, but I did have a soft spot for him. He was just kind of this helpless rich boy that always tried to win her over, and it was very funny.
Like, he was trying really hard, and eventually you were like, well, you are trying. I don't like you that much, but...
Yeah. She basically... There was another scene where she was basically attending this job that a lot of people didn't approve of. It's not, like, prostitution or anything, mm-hmm. per se, but the main love interest and another friend basically walked in on her job, and they recognized her. So he was just like, this is where you work? And he was just extremely rude and extremely
positive. Oh, my gosh.
And he got punched in the face.
You love to see it, folks.
So you mentioned that there was a third character, William, who comes in later in the book. Do you hear or see any chapters from his voice?
Yes, you do, but not as frequent as the other two characters.
Can you tell us a little bit about him?
He is one of the characters with a tragic backstory. Basically, like, his wife died. He had to move to Malaysia because he was outcasted by his community. And then he, like, found solace and place inside of 1930s, like, colonial Malaysia. Some problems arose because of, like, the rumor of were-tigers and because of just, like, the small strings of fantasy being pulled. Because it wasn't, like, explicit, like... There is paranormal things happening. It's just more like basically the boundary line between how much your grandmother believes more mystical and supernatural stuff and what mm-hmm. they pass on to their children. It's just like how much those children would believe usually.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that.
It's a good like line to walk yes. along.
So how does Ren think he's going to get a severed finger?
Ren basically has this like sixth sense or like... an extra sense where he feels like this kind of like twitch at like, you know how some cats will something activate their whiskers mm-hmm. and like they feel like they have to go towards a certain place even though like you're just kind of like, please don't. He basically feels that because his twin brother had passed away, and he basically feels that that connection was never severed, but it was very weakened.
Okay.
So he used that connection to fulfill goals because he believes his twin brother is guiding him towards mm-hmm. his ultimate goal that would benefit him.
Okay.
Hmm. So you mentioned, this might be me putting things together that don't go together, that the story kind of shifts and is upheaved towards the end of the book, which also seems like when William comes into the book. Is he part of that upheaval? Like, does he play a part indirectly or directly to, like, how everyone's stories suddenly turn yeah. upside down?
Basically, I wouldn't say there are multiple storylines happening, but mm-hmm. there's, like, the main storyline that's involving both characters, but there's also, like, their own goals happening at the same time.
Yeah, like on the side.
And the whole time they're just being warned that this character is going to literally like make all your plans go to ruin if you ever meet them. So try your best to not do that. And mm-hmm. you know, they didn't know better. So they fell into it. And what happens is that after, the good thing about this book is they don't make you think the main characters are gonna win. So I'm just gonna leave that up to you. But
you have to read it to find out.
Yeah.
But once you reach the turning point inside the book, it basically poses the question, will these characters actually reach their resolution or will they fail trying? And while there isn't enough interaction between the two main characters is what I would like to believe, because I found their dynamic pretty nice, even though there was like an age difference. They're not romantic partners yeah. or anything, but I found their interactions pretty nice. But basically, they were able to overcome this sudden obstacle that was placed onto their path that seemed insurmountable. They would basically be able to resolve all of their goals and all of their storylines, but that's not really up to the people that were in the story. It was more of just outlying forces and how well they could appease them.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
It's not even like how hard they worked, it's basically just saying good luck, hope you get it.
Interesting.
What are some overarching themes of this book that you think are really important that might attract a reader to it?
I would say the one overarching theme that I really liked is no matter what fate says you have to do, or no matter what people around you tell you you have to follow, you can diverge from that if you try hard enough. I and my other classmates don't agree because we believe different stances on fate. So while Jiaying, she is an Asian female, and the thing about Asian females is that we have to navigate a world where it's basically built for misogynistic men at some times. That Jiaying was a character that found her place inside of this world that was basically made for men, and I found that very like disheartening at first until I realized that she was always looking for opportunities to diverge from that path. And it wasn't like, oh, my life sucks, like I'm just gonna stop living it because I don't like how it turned out. It's always like, I'm gonna do the best I can right now, but if an opportunity shows itself, I'm getting on it. I don't care.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that sounds like a pretty good theme for a novel.
What kind of reader would you recommend the book to?
I would recommend it to readers who have more of an open mind, because the way they deal with how people were treated in colonial Malaysia wasn't the most flowery, like, oh my god, everyone got along, they held hands and they cracked bread and they just had such a fun time. It was more like, oh no, like, white people would look down on you and most times they would treat you as incompetent. Also, if you were a worker, because there were multiple types of demographics inside of Malaysia at that time, so it was like Chinese, Malaysians, and six Indians, and more like mix of both Asian and brown people. It's kind of like you kind of want to diverge that group, because brown people like make up a larger demographic, and like basically just shoving them in with an Asian group is kind of like erasing their own cultural importance. Yeah, it's just kind of like, if you aren't able to handle themes of racism, misogynistic tendencies, gore, and somewhat like some domestic abuse, and also I wouldn't say familial relationships, but I would say like it's like bridging this weird point, because I was talking to my friends about like the certain love interest and how their relationship could be iffy. It was solved by the end of the book, but like throughout the whole book before that, some people would feel uncomfortable about that because they were step siblings.
Oh yeah, yeah. It always veers into some pretty strange territory.
So would you read another book by this author?
Yeah, I'm reading one right now.
Didn't she write one that is now on Netflix, right?
Yes, I think that's the one that you're reading, The Ghost Bride. Yeah. So if you are one of those people who has to see a movie first, you can see The Ghost Bride and then read the books. And is there anything else you wanted to add? Anything that really stood out to you that seemed very important to you to convey in the podcast?
I would believe that this book is probably a really good read because it's a very immersive type of book that will probably show you more of just a realistic point of view instead of just a feel-good book. Mm-hmm. This is more of just a book that makes you experience mixed feelings and gives you a resolution which you have to determine your feelings about certain subjects. It's kind of just like, this happens no matter how you feel about it book, and I found that it was very relatable as a young Asian woman. Mm-hmm. Which is another thing about this book, is that it's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's the rarest read to find, but to find a book that's basically in English for Asian Americans or young Asian women is kind of a little bit harder to find.
Especially something that's hailed as like literary fiction, that tends to be kind of like an exclusive category that caters to like middle-aged white women.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I would just highly recommend this book. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It seems like a very like beautiful read, like something that,
even though it covers really tough topics.
No, yeah. There's like a beautiful read that can also be terrible at the same time.
Where I think it's important. Like, you have kind of two different brands of historical fiction. Mm-hmm. You have the historical fiction that romanticizes an era and a place, and then you have the ones that really want to portray things as they happened.
Yes.
And I feel like this occurs more in that second category.
Mm-hmm. It would probably fall into the second category, because instead of like offering or pushing views onto how to resolve it, they introduce it from the point of view of people who live there, like natives, and basically give you time to process how they're treated and from their perspective. Most people that are ignorant are only ignorant because they couldn't empathize with a group that is so alien from them, and that's usually what happens with a lot of immigrants and Asian Americans at times, because we're treated as more of an exotic class, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's an awkward bridge because it's not particularly outrightly offensive, but it is uncomfortable. And by basically adding more things in between our... This concept is kind of hard to explain, but when you add more roadblocks to try to basically connect to each other, you make it harder for people to address why something is offensive or why something would be problematic, because it's not a problem to other people. It's only a problem to you. So why is it as important?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you explained it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this book. It sounds fascinating. I kind of want to pick it up now.
Yeah. So. You did a very good job of explaining it.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.